thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Mandy Kennedy.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Hi.
And for the first time in a long time, Shannon Young.
That boy.
Oh, shit, what up? Oh, that didn't take long.
I thought we didn't curse here anymore.
We're trying not to. I feel like that word's acceptable on TV, so it's acceptable on Nerd Up. Hmm. We just don't drop any F-bombs anymore.
But did they say it on ABC Family?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because that's what I'm going for. I'm trying to get that deal.
We can't go all the way down to ABC Family.
I thought you said that this was just going to be Melissa and Joey.
Where's Melissa?
Where's Joey?
I don't get that joke.
Whoa.
Now you know my pain.
All right. Well, anyway, so this week we're going to mostly talk about Overwatch versus Battleborn. But before we get that, there's some nerdy happenings we got to talk about. And Asa, I know he wants to make a joke about the actual titles of the game, but we're going to move past it.
I refrained. I was going to wait until later.
Okay.
We'll get there.
First bit of news, Destiny, the new expansion was leaked, or a poster for the new expansion was leaked, called Lords of Iron. Looks like it's going to be heavily based in the Iron Banner, and it's going to be the first expansion that'll have a raid on Earth, from the looks of it.
I have not played Destiny in quite a while, and I would be more interested in this expansion if it was the Lords of Irony, and it had Steven Wright.
All right, so
the no only soldier, one laughing.
I thought it was funny.
And I mean, I know we're not going to get a whole lot of talking in about Destiny because me and Steven are the only ones that play it still, and the rest of our raid group that doesn't appear on the show ever. Netflix has
damn, that was quick.
Uh-huh.
Is that
did,
it?
Did they announce the price point?
No, they haven't. Like, it was a leak. The poster got leaked. Huh. We haven't gotten any other information on the new expansion. It looks, and I don't even know if there's actually going to be a raid. People are just guessing. It's on Earth, like in the poster. So we'll find out.
So this is on Earth, I'm assuming, because correct me if I'm wrong. The world of Destiny, Earth is pretty much destroyed, right? And it's just that one city protected by the Guardian?
Yeah.
Okay, so the rest of the world kind of looks like every other planet with enemies everywhere.
Pretty much, yeah. The Fallen are all over the rest of Earth, and yeah, the Guardian protects one little bit of the city.
Did they bring that dwarf back?
No, he's still gone.
Damn.
Yeah, Dinklebot is forever no more.
Poor Dinklebot.
Poor Dinklebot. Some people miss him, even though everybody
so
trashed
bored.
It so much.
I still liked him more than Nolan North. Is it Nolan North that's
yeah,
trying to,
Nolan
yeah,
North.
I thought Peter, what is his real name?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
I thought Peter Dinklage did such a better job. Like, even though, yeah, he sounded very robotic, did you know that he was a robot in the game?
Well, no, see, that was the problem. Like, sometimes he would have emotion and sometimes he wouldn't.
Most of the time it was.
So it's like Bob.
So it was just weird. Like, he sounded bored. Sometimes he put emotion behind things. Like, I actually really like Norbot. That's what I like to call him.
Norbot, that's too close to Norbit.
That's a terrible movie, too.
My trigger's intensifying.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on before you get triggered too hard. Netflix struck a deal with Disney. So Netflix will now be your exclusive host for anything Disney streaming related. So any new Disney movies, Star Wars movies, Marvel movies, any of that stuff that comes out, only on Netflix.
I'm fine with that.
Me too.
That's fine.
I'm fine with it, but it's also at Disney's discretion still of what they will put on there.
Oh, right.
Because there's still, like, there's already Disney stuff on Netflix. There's not much Disney stuff on Netflix.
Well, no, right now there's a crap load of Disney cartoons.
Is there?
Yeah, a ton of them.
Like Lilo and Stitch is on there.
Yeah, Emperor's New Groove.
I knew there was a couple sequels to stuff.
Well, they added the original stuff, like Mulan is back.
Okay. Because I know there was Mulan 2. I was like, I don't care about Mulan 2.
I want them to put the old TV shows on there. Let's get Darkwing Duck on there. Let's get Chip and Dale.
Oh, that would be
Rangers.
Awesome.
Chip and Dale.
The deal was, before this, Disney was talking about doing their own streaming service. Doing their own, like, subscription fee and everything else, and that's where they're going to have it.
That would
I mean, I didn't even watch the Disney Channel when they got their own channel. Like, I preferred Disney when it was, like, four or five cartoons in the evening when I got home from school.
Okay, but I'm a sucker for their, like, original movies, and I would totes want to see those really bad again.
They've actually added a couple of the original movies to Netflix.
I saw Halloween Town 2.
Okay, but...
Yeah. Almost
I mean,
watched
those ones
one.
Are cool,
High School Musical.
I really want to see Paper Brigade. That was probably my favorite one because I had paintball guns just blah, 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 blah. Riding bikes, and I was really jealous.
I want to see a new High School Musical with Zac Efron now.
The picture you sent me.
Yeah, he has.
I'm okay with it.
Whoa.
The picture you sent me of the High School Musical with the male model that's been trained to kill. It took me too long to realize that it was the description for Zoolander.
We were looking through Netflix movies last night, and every movie had that description. And it wasn't until we got to like High School Musical that I noticed it, and I was like, wait a minute, that's Zoolander.
It took me longer than I'd care to admit that it was Zoolander. But yeah, whenever you posted that picture, I was like, oh man, High School Musical got dark. Yeah.
I was wrong about not seeing this movie.
I'm going to have to go watch it.
Where do you think those Vanessa Hudgens pictures came from? That movie?
All right. So yeah, no, I'm really okay with it. And I agree. I hope we get some classic cartoons on there too, because I imagine that's something they were going to put
on their
streaming service.
Because you don't want it to be like Infinity. Whereas Infinity was a good game, but you always wanted the classic characters, and instead they gave you all the new characters that you didn't want.
Right.
You say like it was only you, though.
It was just me.
Like,
I was the only one that supported that game.
Turns out a whole lot of people wanted the newer characters.
Turns out a lot of people really like Gravity Falls, and I still don't really know what it is.
And see, I wonder how many of those people actually like play Disney Infinity, because it's huge on the internet. It's another one like Steven Universe and...
Gravity Falls?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of like Adventure Time, stuff like that, where it's a kids show, but like
older My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Where they attach themselves to those things and tell you, they try to justify it. Well, it's got great writing.
I feel like My Little Pony is in a league of its own. The fan base, the obsession with that is just, it's completely far above and beyond anything Steven Universe or Gravity Falls or Adventure Time, Rick and Morty, any of that stuff. Well, Rick and Morty's meant to be an adult show. Never mind. So that one doesn't count. Anyway, Comixology finally has their all-you-can-eat subscription service in Comixology Unlimited. It's something that there was a rumor they were going to announce it at Comic-Con last year after Amazon bought Comixology. And for those of you that don't know what Comixology is, it is a great place online where you can get digital versions of all your comic books. They do Marvel, DC, like all of them. And you can get it on your tablet, your phone,
You know what? To be fair, my phone has started buzzing ever since the update for no reason at all. It will just sit there and buzz 20 times.
Do you
with
have a
no
Galaxy?
Update.
Or is it? Like Spotify doesn't work half the time now. It's just like
the update?
Yeah, like new update. Tried to update Spotify, didn't have one, but it'll play a song, and then if my phone's locked, it's like I'm not gonna play that next song.
Why isn't NerdUp talking about this?
Because my Galaxy phone works just fine.
Yeah. I also broke my computer. I need your help.
Oh boy! All right, so moving back to Comixology. You can get tablet, mobile device, all this other stuff. You can read digital comics, which is really nice because you don't have to worry about. Ruining your physical comic.
Oh, God, yeah. JR lended me his American Alien series.
Right.
I'm about 2 issues into it. I haven't had a lot of time to read it. But every time I place it somewhere, I get so scared something's going to happen to it, I watch it to make sure no one goes near it because I don't want them to damage his comics because I know those comics are not easy to come by.
Right, and especially stuff like American Alien. And the other big problem with comic books nowadays, the random issues of stuff will just become impossible to find. Like, you can't find American Alien number 1 right now for a reasonable price.
Which, and to be fair, though, that's the number 1.
It's true.
The Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover, number 2, that one was nowhere. Yeah. Like, I had to buy that one for more than cover price online.
And I mean, I understand, like, if you miss out on number 1 at release, then, yeah, you're gonna have to pay more. But, I mean, scalpers are so dominant these days. Like DC Rebirth. That was one, it became impossible to find anywhere.
Which, shout out to Villainous Grounds in Perryville.
Again?
Again, because they went ahead, because I talked to the owners about, like, the DC Rebirth stuff and just being interested in it in general, but I didn't have the actual Rebirth issue on my list. But he just went ahead and assumed that I would probably want it, so he pulled a copy from the shelves and just put it in my box for me.
Shout out to Villainous Grounds in general, because those guys are pretty awesome.
Oh, they
and the
really
coffee
are.
There is superior.
Oh, it's great. Have you actually been up there yet?
No, but when I was at the Comic-Con, they poured me a special one of their employee editions that they had, because we started talking, and they were really nice. They were like, here, have some of our coffee. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. No, sometime you'll have to go up there with us.
Yes.
Because we went there on Friday, and I'm really sad that I had nothing DC pulled. So mm-hmm. he didn't make that same assumption for me, unfortunately.
Oh, so you didn't get Rebirth?
I didn't get Rebirth. So I got a digital version, though. The only downside of digital versions, they are the same as cover price. However, to get a number one is going to be way more than cover price, so it's still cheaper. And yeah, now I just have that digital version. I'm going to read it. I still haven't read it. I meant to today, and then I went to pull out my tablet, and the battery was dead.
And what happened yesterday, Jesse?
So yesterday, Asa, knowing that I wanted to read the book and wasn't able to get a copy for myself, was going to bring his in and let me read it. And I was like, no, I got a digital copy. Don't worry about it.
Awesome.
Yep.
Someone to talk about it with.
I know. I wanted.
We can talk about it because someone spoiled it for me.
Well, see, I also wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it briefly on mm-hmm. the show, but since I haven't read it, I can't really say a whole lot about it. So
very underwhelming. 80 pages of, yeah, we know New 52 made a lot of people angry because we just deleted important stuff from these characters' histories. Our bad. Here you go. We're going to put it back.
Please, please love us again. Please come back from Marvel.
And that's pretty much just 80 pages of fan service and apologizing with a big twist in quotation mark ending.
God, remember, 10, 15, 20 years ago when the roles were reversed and Marvel was begging for attention and DC was riding high on their little...
Marvel had to sell to Disney to stop from going completely out of business?
Marvel had to sell to everybody. Like, they had a fire sale going for movie rights just to try and stay afloat.
I actually bought Hulk after Ang Lee, but I didn't do anything with it.
it was bad for Marvel, but yeah, now they are completely dominant in both the cinematic universe and in the books. Like, Marvel is consistently outselling DC.
But I will say, DC animated movies are far superior to Marvel animated movies.
150%.
I have not seen a Marvel movie that I've liked.
The DC directs have been incredible. Well, I mean, there haven't been... Like, when was the last Marvel movie that came out? Like, a Marvel direct animated movie?
I don't remember, because they gave up, hopefully.
They started doing, like, weird crossover ones, because the only one
the anime ones, like Punisher and Black Widow, which I almost watched.
Oh, that one was on Netflix? Yeah, I actually watched it, and it was really weird.
Well, the moment I saw what Punisher looked like, I browned out. I don't remember anything after that.
Because I know they had, like, Planet Hulk was actually a really good animated feature. The Doctor Strange animated feature was really good.
I fell asleep during that one, I won't lie.
But, I mean, they haven't done anything since, like, that I know of anyway. They may have been pumping
them out.
There's,
an Iron Man versus Hulk and Wolverine versus...
Those. Actually, I enjoyed those, too. I mean, they weren't great. They weren't as good as the DC directs. Right. But
the DCs are so good. The first one I ever watched was New Frontier, which I thought was a great adaptation of the comic. Under the Red Hood, which was amazing.
Under the Red Hood.
That was an incredible story.
Batman Dark Knight Returns, year one. I mean, they did so many good. And now they've got Flash the Killing Point. Joke coming out.
Yeah.
The Killing Joke coming up is looking great. They actually are building their own animated universe that starts with, like, Son of Batman. And then I think kind of moves into Flashpoint and a few other, like, several other
War,
movies. The War series is part of that. They have an ongoing universe, which is really cool. But that's the only department that DC's really winning in, and Marvel's just not even trying to compete there.
The day that Marvel somehow acquires the rights to Batman,
DC's done.
GG.
I mean, that would have to already be DC was already done for them to
that's
sell
true,
Batman.
Because that's their last bastion.
Yeah,
yeah.
Aquaman ain't lasting.
They're not starting with Batman.
No, they.
All right, so I have a question for you. This is just random, but it popped in my head. You guys know more about comics than me. If it came down to DC had to sell a character, who would they rather sell first, Superman or Batman?
Superman.
You think they sell Superman before Batman?
Yeah.
I mean, Superman may be their poster boy, but Batman's their moneymaker.
I'll buy that answer.
And DC, that was something else I actually forgot to write down. With their rebirth, DC has yet another new logo.
Really?
They're changing it up again. It looks a little bit more like their classic DC logo. Which I don't know if you had seen the newer one that has kind of like the D and it's peeling back and there's the C under it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's real neat looking. But they have a new one that's a lot more reminiscent of the classic, the Silver Age DC logo.
I thought you were going to tell me it was two hands praying, like,
please come back.
Please watch our movies.
Suicide Squad better be spectacular.
It looks really good.
I'm optimistic.
I also thought Batman v Superman looked good until they did the Doomsday trailer.
I was going to say, I was not. I'm more excited for Suicide Squad than I was for Batman v Superman.
Can I throw a quick thing out real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just real quick, talking about trailers. I saw a trailer, just a clip of a trailer. It was on Facebook today from the UK for one of their Ghostbusters trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know a small spoiler about the cameo that they showed in the trailer, skip ahead about 30 seconds or a minute. But Kristen Wiig's character goes to a cab and yells at the cabbie, "Watch out, those are real ghosts out there." And then it shows Dan Aykroyd, who looks over at the ghost and says, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts," and drives off.
Oh, that's beautiful.
If that's Dan Aykroyd's only part, though.
You know it's going to be.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. It almost certainly will be. Because
Hunter, if you're listening, man.
Woo. Oh, you know he's listening.
Oh, I know he's listening. We're going to go skateboards later.
Hello, humans. Speaking of comic books, more comic stuff. Captain America. This is a little bit of a spoiler in issue one. So I'm sorry if you guys haven't.
If you're listening to this show,
you probably know.
You have already seen it all over Facebook or the internet,
right?
Or anywhere else.
You have already read it, or you don't care that we're about to spoil it.
Yeah.
So apparently, Captain America has been with Hydra from the very beginning.
Someone pointed out it was a meme that someone posted or a response someone posted that said, "You got to be pretty bad at your job when you take a character created by two of Jewish guys to fight Nazis and make him a Nazi."
Right.
It turns out like it's a big twist. You know, Steve Rogers says "Hail Hydra." But there's already like, have you seen the Reddit? How they pretty much have like broken down the story of like what's actually going to happen.
I haven't, because I know you said that and you were hoping that it wasn't that because they figured it out way too easily.
Way too easy. But yeah, so it's.
Well, if it's anything like Vince McMahon, they'll still do the story exactly the way we predict it.
I mean,
well,
more than likely. But if to be fair, like they've already gotten like issue up to four probably finished.
Right. Yeah. No. They have it done way out in advance.
So
like,
there's no way anybody here believes that he's actually an agent of Hydra, right?
I mean,
that's impossible.
So what happens in the comic book? They're showing like Captain America's, you know, just now back to being a young person. There was, it's post the standoff at Pleasant Hill. There was basically a girl used a cosmic cube to give him his youth back. And
how sweet of her.
Yeah, that's how that happens. And he didn't, like, Sam Wilson is still also Captain America. And Sam Wilson still has the classic vibranium shield, so Cap has a new one that's kind of cool. and it's, you know, he's doing a couple missions there. And it's kind of showing a flashback to when he was a little kid. And his father is apparently a real abusive guy. And his mother and he were invited to a Hydra meeting. And that's kind of like you see that background, like even as a child, like that's when he first came into contact with Hydra. And at the end of the comic book, or at the end of the book, he basically it looks like he's about to fail a mission on purpose to let Zemo succeed in his goal. And one of the people that are assisting Cap comes in, saves the day, and does everything right. And it's looking like it's going to be mission success, and then Cap throws the guy overboard. And as he throws him overboard, it says kind of like an insight in what he's thinking. Like, it's really unfortunate. Like, he deserves better than this, but, you know, got to do what you got to do. And then it pans over to Cap, and he just says, "Hail Hydra," and that's the end of the book.
Now, is this a new Captain America that has been put in recently that has no, like is this one of the new universe version that has no giant backstory?
I think this is the original 616.
Yes.
I don't think this is one of the, like, it's just a random Captain America that got brought in from, like, during Secret Wars. I could be wrong, like, but you said it is the original.
Yeah, this is definitely the original, like, 616 Captain America.
So this is the original Captain America. Is this a good plot twist, or is this one of the most insulting things they've ever thrown at comic readers?
Supposedly, the current writer for the Captain America series and the one that's working on this one has said that he has been planning this since the beginning of Marvel Now, whenever he took over writing for Cap. And supposedly you can look back and you can see little hints and stuff that this was coming. But no, this has definitely not been an original plan, like, from the beginning of Captain America.
And the outrage over it is ridiculous to me. It's a comic book. There is no permanent status quo. Like, well, he's obviously going to be reverted back, or, like, do you care if I go into the Reddit theory a little bit?
Go for it.
Basically, one of the very first books I think that started with Now was the Red after Cyclops killed Professor Xavier, the Red Skull stole his body and tried and stole his brain so that Red Skull could then take on the powers of Charles Xavier.
Is that how that works?
No.
No, but then he turned into like Red Onslaught and a whole bunch of other stuff happened and he was ultimately defeated. Reddit's theory is that Red Skull succeeded and has implanted these false memories in Steve Rogers' brain of the abusive father, of the mom going to the meeting. That's why in those flashback panels, everything is black and white except for the Hydra letter and like a red sash his mom is wearing. And those are red, which they think is a hint that it's actually the Red Skull behind this.
Which Red Skull, Reddit.
I would actually
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
I would actually be entirely fine with that.
Yeah.
Better than Captain America actually being Hydra all along, because that makes no sense.
It really doesn't, because of how many times could Hydra have completely destroyed the world or taken over, right, only to be stopped like,
by Cap.
By Captain America himself.
It's like the, and we won't get into it, but like the pro wrestling trope of, oh, we're not going to save the day until the very end. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you start?
Why would you start going out there and helping?
Yeah.
And wait. Also, the thing that makes me believe this is absolutely just a waste of time is you don't take a character like Captain America, who's one of their biggest characters, especially now after the fantastic movies with Chris Evans, and then you throw him and make him a villain. Like, it's just like Roman Reigns, how they won't turn him heel because they see him as the guy. Captain America is one of the guys. You're not going to make him a permanent bad guy because while you might respect it as a comic book reader, you know, us adults, the little kids out there who look up to Captain America and the people that buy the Captain America merchandise might not be so willing to buy it if he's a Nazi sympathizer.
Okay, there's actually quite a few people have been outright talking about like burning their Captain America merchandise.
Yeah, and like, that's so stupid.
It really is.
How many times has Captain America died?
Right.
Captain America was an old man. Like, this might last for 6 months.
Yeah.
I really doubt
it'll last that long. Because, like, I really like that theory that it is part of, like, a mind control thing. And I'm okay with it from, you know, the point of view of an older, like, a more mature comic reader, like you said. Because it's a cool new story. They didn't just bring Cap back and throw Sam Wilson, you know, back out of relevance.
They so easily could have just been like, oh, you know, back to Falcon.
You're Falcon again
because we got actual Captain America back, which is what they did to Bucky.
Yep.
When Bucky was Captain America, they brought Cap back to life, and then Bucky became the Winter Soldier again.
There's a fantastic article I read on Blogzilla 1985 by Shannon Young, who made a point that the Punisher should have been the next Captain America, not Sam Wilson, and I stand by it. Especially now. So you'd rather have the Nazi sympathizer than Frank Castle? Okay, America. Okay.
I mean, it's not America's choice. If it was America's choice, Sam Wilson probably would have got bumped back to Falcon.
Sam Wilson would have never been Captain America if it was America's choice. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Especially the new America when we're making it great again.
They actually did... apparently, the writer for, and I really wish I knew the name off the top of my head, but the writer for Captain America is super into politics, and the issue kind of goes heavy into the current political atmosphere with Donald Trump. They basically make Red Skull Donald Trump, and it's whenever he's talking like to groups of people, like he's spouting that rhetoric.
Is Red Skull in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I have the issue, but I haven't read it yet.
Ooh.
So that makes the whole, oh, it's actually Red Skull thing way more.
Do we have a Captain Germany?
And the writer is Nick Spencer.
Nick Spencer. Okay, yeah. Apparently he's huge into politics. So, yeah. And it's kind of obvious when you see it in there. Like I said, Red Skull is very much going on about the Donald Trump rhetoric. It's interesting. And Red Skull is trying to take back Hydra from... Baron Zemo.
He's trying to make Hydra great again.
I'm not gonna like, and it could be any politician, like outside of like my disdain for Donald Trump, but I just don't like it when comics take such topical things, because like some of the best books you can go back and reread years and decades later and they still hold up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do this in such a way, they don't reference Donald Trump at all.
Right.
But they do reference just
his mannerisms.
But it seems like, but it feels like, you know, if in 10 years, whenever this is all, you know, in the past and died down, like if you go back and read that, oh, remember when Captain America was in Hydra for a week?
Someone will get the reference.
Yeah, it's not going to be as impactful.
I feel the same way about Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. I know you guys think it's a joke is coming, but it's not. I love Law and Order, but whenever they do the rip from the headlines thing and they try to make it current, those are the worst episodes because they just try to mimic what's going on. What's the point? And it's this goddamn, his name is Speedweed. He writes the episodes, and I don't like him.
The first time you said that when you were watching an episode, you're like, oh, is it Speedweed? I'm always on a lookout for Speedweed. And I thought you were talking about, like, a character on the show.
No.
Like, there's, like, a recurring
Who's actually named that?
His name is Speedweed. That sounds like something Zach and Sonic the Hedgehog fused together.
Or, like, a new kind of drug.
Speedweed.
yeah,
I think
no.
Mandy could use some speedweed right now. She looks sleepy.
I'm still going.
She's mostly awake. All right, we'll go ahead and move into the last little bit of news and then hit up our conversation about Battleborn and Overwatch. No Man's Sky delayed. I thought that it was going to be 2017. Apparently, it's just being pushed back to August. So we'll still get it this year, presumably. And
remember Last Guardian? How long has that game been coming out?
To be fair, Last Guardian was never, you know, 2 months away from release.
I think it started on PlayStation 2, then went to PS3, and now it's on PS4.
And boy, that trailer, you wouldn't know it, because it still looks like they're making a PS2 game. Come at me, Internet.
It looks like the last... Like, it looks like... oh, God, was it?
Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks almost just like it, but maybe, like... a little bit prettier. Like, it could be an early days PS3 game.
Well, the good news is when you have a game like that releases late, they'll just say it's artistic. Like, it doesn't matter if the graphics are terrible. It was a choice.
Yeah, kind of like Duke Nukem.
No, that was no one's choice.
Alien Colonial Marines.
Stop it. Just stop it.
Speaking of Gearbox and their awful fumbles.
Whoa!
What wasn't an awful fumble? Battleborn.
Which, well, Shannon wants to go off on a limit here.
Well, before you do, I want to throw out there, and I want to preface this entire conversation about Battleborn and Overwatch. These two games are extremely different.
Yes.
Right.
They are not the same game. Like, you shouldn't decide, I want to play a game where I can switch characters. Do I do this or this?
A first-person shooter that I can choose from a list of characters.
But right. How many people have we talked to, and us ourselves, that when the game was coming out and when it was released, we thought, well, why buy both? I'll just play one. It's the same game. And then we quickly realized they're completely
up
different.
Until the beta.
Yeah,
until the Overwatch beta.
Yeah, Overwatch beta hit, and I was like, yep, okay, this is very different.
And I also want to point out, and this is the thing I was getting to, is that Shannon was the first one to buy Battleborn. Everyone told him not to.
I didn't tell you.
A couple
to buy
people
Battleborn.
Said, "Don't buy Battleborn." I was like, "I'm going to get it," and they're like, "Why? Just wait for Overwatch. You're wasting your time." And I bought Battleborn, and then everyone played it, and we all enjoy it. This is the second time. The first time, what was the first time? Don't remember. Okay, never mind. I'll think of it. You talk.
I was looking more forward to Battleborn anyway because I like Gearbox. I have much more of a loyalty to Gearbox than I do Blizzard.
Yep. The Division.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that one was kind of a mistake.
Uh huh.
I enjoyed it.
Line Simulator, the game.
Speaking of World of Warcraft.
Speaking of Warcraft, I was going to mention before that, the early reviews are out, and they're not good.
Uh-oh.
I don't care. I'm still going to go see it.
Yeah, I'm
going to
see
it. I mean, X-Men Days of, X-Men Apocalypse also got terrible reviews.
That's the other thing we forgot to talk about. Okay, so holding off the talk real quick, we're going to do a very, very quick review.
I can see Mandy's, like, the lower red blood stuff under your eye. I see it.
A very quick, non-spoiler-free review of X-Men...
Non-spoiler-free?
Apocalypse.
So we can talk about spoilers?
Wait, no. Double Wait. Negative. Bad.
What?
Spoiler-free.
That is sinister.
So anyway, spoiler-free... X-Men Apocalypse review. We're doing this new format here for reviews where we give it full price, matinee, rental, don't bother.
And Shannon will not participate in this conversation, and let me explain why to the audience. Once I found out that they cut Jubilee, not completely, but cut a major piece of her out of the movie, I declined to watch it with you guys because I was so upset about it because I'm a big and only Jubilee fan amongst the group. And I decided to stay at home, and instead, I don't remember what I did.
I thought you had dinner with Allie.
I had dinner with Allie.
All right.
Was it Allie?
You had dinner at 11 p.m. at night.
I often eat at like midnight. That's true.
It is true. He did leave here at a little after 10 o'clock and said, I'm going to go eat dinner with Allie. So, yeah, no, I can verify.
Yeah,
because
he's like, I might end up sneaking into the movie.
And if the pasta hadn't taken so long to cook, I might have still.
So, Asa, what's your review on the set there?
Matinee. It was good. Like, I think I liked it better than First Class. I didn't like it as much as Days of Future Past, but I like Days of Future Past better than First Class, and I know I'm in the minority of that, but it was really good.
I think that Shannon and I are actually in the minority of that. You were in the majority that most people liked Days of Future Past more than First Class.
I really loved First Class, and a major reason for that was Kevin Bacon, I won't lie.
Oh, he was great.
Sebastian Shaw. He was just so good.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, I really enjoyed First Class. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I just personally enjoyed
Days of Future Past.
It felt a lot more brutal, and Apocalypse definitely kept that up.
My boss, after I lent him the movie, He actually brought it back to me and said, thanks for the snuff film.
Days of Future Past?
Yeah,
that whole futuristic scene where they just kept dying over and over was pretty rough. Although I still think that the kill that Magneto did to Sebastian Shaw was the most brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Slowly moving a coin through his head while he stared forward. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because he was just locked into place.
That's terrifying.
But it was a great movie. Like, I didn't like it as much as Civil War.
Oh, definitely not.
But, I mean, I'm definitely not upset that we saw it.
Yeah. All right. Mandy? Your review?
I'd probably go matinee, but I had to pee in the beginning, and then I spilled soda all over myself and my friend, so I was really sticky and in a wet seat, so it couldn't be as enjoyable as I wanted it to be.
The wet seat had nothing to do with the peeing.
No, I probably just should have at that point, because I already embarrassed myself, but I held it in, and the seat was already wet, but...
That the theater turned on the lights, just shining right onto the screen.
That's what Lindsay said.
Rookie move, guys.
Well, they did the same thing during Iron Man 1, when we went to go see it.
Which makes sense,
because that was the first time, you know, that wasn't a precedent at that point.
But you think they would know that there's an after credit scene?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that is true. You're not wrong. We could barely make out that post-credit scene in Apocalypse. I would probably also give it a matinee. Worth seeing in theaters. I wouldn't necessarily pay full price for it. I'm not upset that I did.
Right.
I don't get the internet's hatred towards it and general critic hatred for it.
I think it's because they were holding it up against First Class and Days of Future Past, because I really think those two are the quintessential X-Men movies.
I think it competes. Like, it holds up with those two films.
So it's a good trilogy.
Yeah.
It's a great
trilogy. Solid trilogy.
Great trilogy.
Definitely best X-Men, like, cinematic thing that's happened ever.
And it seems like they got a lot of it right, too. Like, even though I wish I had gone to see it now, because Lindsay told me that even though they did cut Jubilee's major parts, that she was still in it. The fact that Jubilee was still in the film, here's Jubilee, and she talks, as opposed to every other X-Men film. I mean, for a Jubilee fan, that's about as good as it's going to get. Until they turn her vampire in the Dracula remake that Asa was talking about.
Which someone felt the need to, like, point out.
Jack Johnson.
I don't know who that guy is. I've seen him around.
Yeah.
And he's real obnoxious.
He definitely seems like the kind of person that would go online and make sure that someone knows that they're wrong.
He's the one that refuses to see Gambit because of Channing Tatum. Won't even give it a chance.
Okay, so that's all I need to know
about
this person.
He flat out will not look at anything about it.
I think the reason that it's getting such hatred on the internet and by reviews is because it's not being put up against Days of Future Past and First Class. It's being put up against Civil War.
Oh.
Because it came out less than a month.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that I mentioned, like, in our Civil War review. Like, I feel really bad for Apocalypse because it has to follow this incredible piece of cinema.
Well, I didn't even see Civil War, so X-Men wins, but that's because I have no one to go with.
I would like to point out that I'm very happy that I was wrong about Apocalypse. He actually looked great.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have the Ivan Ooze.
No, he wasn't purple. And that's something that the actors all came forward and said, listen, these are weird pictures. I don't know why Entertainment Weekly posted him that way. But he's blue. We promise he's blue. And his voice was great. Oscar Isaac did amazing as him.
Oscar Isaac is having just the best couple of years.
The best
lately.
Year, yeah.
I mean, between that and Poe Dameron, like, man, that dude's on top.
Yeah.
And a giant pile of money.
Yes.
A giant.
And deserves. Did you ever see Inside Llewyn Davis? Mm-hmm. Ewan Davis? It's a really good movie. You should watch it. Sorry. That's my plug.
It's got a cat. I enjoyed the movie. It's worth seeing in theaters, guys.
Agreed.
It's solid. If you just make sure that you are separating from the source material. They do change quite a bit in terms of origin stories, the way some powers work.
The horsemen themselves.
Well, the horsemen is something that's always pretty well changed.
I guess. I'm a 90s kid, you know, with the X-Men. So, yeah. Archangel? And then they just had generic ones.
Yeah,
because
I only really remember Archangel. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even in the comic books, like, they did keep Archangel.
Did he have the purple and blue outfit?
No.
Damn it.
Storm was BA, though.
Oh, yeah, she was.
And Psylocke had the just straight-up comic.
Yeah, straight out. Like, she looked like they had just peeled her off the pages of a comic book and threw her in the movie.
And kudos to Olivia Munn for that, because when they first announced her...
Is Olivia Munn or Wilde?
Munn.
Wilde is in Tron.
Yeah.
When they first announced Olivia Munn was going to be Psylocke, I was one of the people that said, oh, I don't like that. Yeah, she kind of looks the part, but I don't think she can do it. Just from the trailers, I thought she looked like Psylocke.
Which, no, she looked great.
Yeah, she did. And she did a good job, but they also, like, she...
Or she was like Lady Deathstrike. She
barely
spoke.
She did very little, but what she did really well.
Yeah. The only complaint I have with the movie, and the only reason that I wouldn't give it a full price, obviously there's a 3D showing of the film, and there's, you know, standard 2D. it very much seemed like, and I don't know if you guys felt the same way, it very much seemed like they would have really preferred us have seen it in 3D.
Because like
there
Avatar?
Were yeah, there were a lot of moments where it's just, I mean, there's a lot of like tunnels you go through, a lot of stuff coming at you, a lot of stuff happening on the screen, and the experience probably would have been better in 3D, but I'm not going to pay the extra for that.
I don't like 3D. Like, I don't like, yeah, I don't like wearing glasses, and I feel like I have to sit a certain way, and then that does give me a headache after like 30 minutes, and I just don't like anything about it.
And then someone like Lindsay who wears glasses and then has to wear the 3D glasses over it.
Yeah.
Not a good
like
time.
Like after our contacts.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like, it really doesn't, there are certain movies where seeing it in 3D
Avatar
is
was
cool.
Good,
like,
but
Avatar was the last one.
And that was
that
such
I'd
a
liked.
Long movie, but I had seen it in 2D first, and I was like, okay, that'd probably look really cool.
I saw damn Transformers 2 in 3D. That was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made.
Because that was one of those movies.
Did we see Star Wars in 3D?
Did we?
Me and her. Me and Allie.
Oh.
Because did we not watch the 3D showing?
Did they have a 3D showing of Star Wars?
I think we saw it in 3D. Because, yeah. And it was
pretty
cool. I
feel like every movie does a 3D now. Yeah.
Oh, you know Ninja Turtles will. By the way, I'm excited for Ninja Turtles. I don't care. I'm going to earmuff myself.
That's fine. No, I'm not saying you can't be. I'm just saying I'm not.
I know you're right, and I don't want you to be. But I know you are.
we'll move back. Like, the 3D stuff in general, I feel like when the 3D is more immersive, it's cool. But if it's just 3D to be 3D and they're throwing stuff at you, like
for
that,
a cash grab real quick.
Right, what's that
little,
I don't like.
Like a leaf coming at the screen. Like, okay, that looks cool, but I don't care.
Right. Yeah. Because when I'm watching Avatar, like, it almost feels like my seat is, you know, in there.
The
and I've got,
and
like,
stuff
to the sides. And it adds a, you know, a cool, like, ambient, I guess, feature to it, but
it's because there's a difference between a movie that was filmed in 3D and was meant to be watched in 3D and a blockbuster action movie that we're also going to tack on some 3D parts so that we can justify the extra ticket revenue.
It's like a 3DS system. The games that were actually meant for 3D, like Mario 3D World, looks amazing and it plays a part in it. But then you have a game like Blaze Blue that they just made it 3D just because the system has the capabilities. Then it becomes distracting and pointless.
Right, and that's exactly what I feel like X-Men would have been, and I feel like they really wanted us to have paid that extra money to see it in 3D.
Never.
And that's the only reason I don't give it a
Asa just pulled out his wallet
price.
And burned his money. There's a dollar you won't get.
All right, so now we'll move back into Battleborn v. Overwatch.
What's Overwatch?
Bastion
the game. Oh, you're talking about Bastion.
I didn't mean to steal that from you. I really didn't. I tried to stop myself.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. No, like the two games, like I have complaints with both of them. But like Shannon said, I was late into buying it. I was in the closed beta. I was in the open beta, both on Xbox One, so I don't get any of the cool bonuses. But I didn't have a whole lot of fun with it then.
You're talking about Battleborn.
Battleborn, yes.
Yeah,
because the only mode on Battleborn that I was able to play was Meltdown, which incidentally is my least favorite mode that you can play now.
Steven, oh, you mean of the modes that you can choose to play?
I was going
to
get there. Oh, gosh. I was going to make that comparison.
I played the beta. Steven convinced me to play it. And I played one match with Wrath and said, I'm not playing this game. Uninstalled it. And the only reason I bought it when it came out was just because I'm a sucker. I bought the shield, the NVIDIA shield, when it came out.
I remember. And then you actually sold it for a profit.
I did, to the Skags. I also bought the PSP Go.
What else did you buy this week?
What did I buy? Oh, Ninja Turtles. Turtles in Manhattan. I stand by it. I've had fun with it. I'm glad to say. Yeah.
I feel like you could have saved yourself $40 and rented it.
Well, here's the thing with that. All right, so the game was $50. I saved $10 by going to Best Buy. Plus, you get a $10 ticket to see Ninja Turtles. So really, I only paid $30 for it.
I guess that's better.
And slightly. I can trade it in for somewhat of a profit once I'm done with it, which will be soon. Although Dalton, who dissed it completely and said, that's stupid, why'd you buy it, I'll never play it, as he watched me play it, said, hey, when you're done with this, you want to let me borrow it? Screw you, pal.
Well, he was going to rent it anyway, but either way. So going back, Battleborn. I want to say the two games, they are very different. I'm going to, you know, talk about why they're different, mostly because the gameplay, the game style.
They're almost two different genres.
Yeah, the Overwatch is more your typical first-person shooter, plays a lot like, and I'm sure you've heard the comparison a million times, Team Fortress 2, which is an old PC game made by Valve, really super popular.
I will say Overwatch is much better.
Oh,
come
yeah.
at me, Internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hate Overwatch.
Just like,
yeah.
It's such a douchey game for douchebags.
Like, I thought you were about to say
Overwatch. Be douchey together.
I thought you were saying Overwatch was better than Battleborn. I was like, well.
It is, in my opinion, right now.
I like both of those games, but I can honestly say Team Fortress 2 is just not nearly as good as everyone makes it out to be.
Yeah, no, yeah. Team Fortress 2 was great when it came out. It was a lot of
40 years ago on the Amiga.
In 2007. When the orange box came out, no, the game was a lot of fun back then, and like it's kind of fun, except like you get so many people like Nate Smith playing.
Oh God, I wondered if you were going to mention that.
Yeah, no, because
does he play that?
Oh yeah, all he the does. Time. I know that. And I mean, they're heavy into like everybody in that game is so douchey about like if you want to, you can't play who you want to play. You have to fit the team. And I understand, like,
it's
if you're
game.
It's a team game,
it's
and if you're wanting to play competitively and all this other stuff, sure, you want to get your team comp going. But if you're in a pug match, you have to expect people aren't going to play characters to fit the team. Yes. So you have to switch. Don't make other people switch. Like, let people have fun. That aside, I'm sure Nate did something to deserve any other flack that he's gotten in that game because he's just a toxic person. You're saying that like you don't agree with me.
No, I'm saying, geez, that's funny.
Oh.
Like, jeez,
okay.
That's a burn?
Okay, so anyway, yeah, it's...
I was there with you when we did the episode on toxic communities with Nate.
Oh,
I watched the fire in your eyes as every time you tried to make a point, he interrupted you.
Mm-hmm.
I had to literally calm Jesse down. He looked over at me and I just went, Jesse, don't do it.
I was going to make him cry on
you
air.
You were, but then I did that later.
Yeah.
You're welcome, YouTube.
So yeah, that... Battleborn is more a MOBA-style game, like your League of Legends or your Heroes of the Storm, Smite, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, where it's, you know, a team-based objective game. There's no swapping characters. Who you pick at the beginning is who you go. It's more heavily team-based. Dying, there's a lot more punishment for dying.
Oh, there's also PvE elements.
Yes.
Whole storyline. Whole single-player game.
That's one of the things that Battleborn really has. Battleborn, in my opinion, is a more complete game right now.
100%.
Like, Overwatch is fun, but... Overwatch still feels like a demo or a beta.
People like that Ben dude that come in, like, as we're playing Battleborn, and like, oh, well, why, you know, Overwatch is better. You know, Overwatch, you can do this. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But Battleborn is absolutely more of a complete game.
Yeah. So I'm going to list the things that Battleborn has that Overwatch doesn't, real quick. First, single-player campaign. I'm honestly okay with Overwatch not having a campaign as a person that doesn't really play campaigns that often.
I agree with him. Same thing with Call of Duty. They might as well not have a campaign because I'm just going to go right to the multiplayer.
Exactly.
And that's fine, but I'm someone who actually really enjoys doing campaigns. Like, I'm usually so terrible at first-person shooters that I have to do the campaign. But at the same time, like, I would be more okay with Overwatch not having a campaign if it didn't have a 3-minute opening cinematic that makes you care about the world and the characters.
And there's so much stuff that makes me care about the lore, and I want to know more, but I can't because there isn't a single
player
campaign.
There's no lore. I'm sure they'll have comic books and things you can buy extra.
I want to point out, you're talking about the campaign for Battleborn, and my argument against the campaign of Battleborn is it is a functioning campaign.
Oh, it's super basic.
That has just enough fun factor to it that kept me interested and I wanted to beat it. But if it was, imagine if they didn't have the multiplayer aspect to it and the campaign was the selling point.
Oh,
but,
no.
It would
but
not
they
have
do.
Been worth it. Well, it does, but I'm just
you
saying.
You can't make that. That's
you're,
a hypothetical.
You're saying that the campaign in Battleborn is so much, is one of the reasons it's better than Overwatch.
No, I'm saying it's one of the things that Battleborn has that Overwatch doesn't. That's all I said.
And it's fine, but to me, it was a basic. Build this, now defend it. Build this, now defend it.
But,
build
it gave
this,
now
but it's also wrapped around absolute like character development.
Character
and
development, yes.
Great
stories,
writing.
Not
and...
really. The story was so. I don't even know what the story was. I played through the entire campaign. All I know was there was a bad guy and something about some planets.
Well, you also skipped every cinematic.
That's because I was just helping you guys beat it, more or less.
But anyway, no, there actually is. It's a cool story. You're right. The gameplay, like the mechanics of the single player, are really lackluster. But the story is cool. And the fact that you can do it with, you know, a bunch of people makes it a lot of fun.
We had
a lot of fun playing through the campaign.
It reminded me of an old, and even though I'm saying that the campaign was basic, because yes, it was basic, it was fun, and it reminded me of, remember, and this is not the same game style, but you remember those old beat-em-ups, side-scrolling beat-em-ups, where you and four friends would pick a character you thought looked cool and then play through these simplistic levels? Overwatch or Battleborn was the same way. Pick your favorite-looking character or style and beat up a bunch of random enemies, kill a boss, and get loot for it.
Right.
That's what it was, and it was fun. It was serviceable. Yes.
Yeah. Good. So, moving forward, Battleborn has a progression system, an actual progression system. Some people argue that having all the characters unlocked at the beginning of the game is better. Some people will argue against it. I like the fact that I am forced to try other characters that I wouldn't normally try so that I can get characters I want.
Of course, the frustrating part about that is when some characters are seemingly so much better than others, and you won't get them for a very long time.
Galt.
Or you can't find a character you're good at, and you just keep trying, and there's so many damn characters, and you're like, well.
I feel like Bastion should be the Galt of Overwatch. You have to get to the highest level before you unlock him.
That's a balance change that needs to happen.
Yeah, that's just Bastion should just be removed until they can figure out how to not make him broken.
Yeah, so the progression system, though, like there's a point to leveling up. There's a point to doing stuff in the game. Like, you earn things for doing things in the game. Where Overwatch, like, I'm leveling up to get loot boxes. And then the loot boxes may or may not contain anything I care about.
And you can level up specific characters, too. And as you level up the characters you enjoy to play, you get
extra stuff.
You get skins and mutagens to change their play style. And like, you get all sorts of stuff for that specific character. And the gear that you can also unlock kind of fits to anybody. But again, you can make these certain gear packs that have stuff that go towards certain characters.
You can really spec your character
as opposed
how you want him.
To exactly. Overwatch, where it's like, okay, I gained a level, I get a loot box. Oh, great, I got three useless things, and they're not even they're for characters I'm never going to play.
I never realized how frustrating the Overwatch leveling up system was until today, I think, when I unlocked a 200 coins in one of my boxes. And I thought, oh, sweet, I've got 250 coins now, I can buy one of those skins. And then I thought, well, I've had this game for, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. And I played it quite a bit. And in all of the games I've played, I've only gotten 250 coins. So if I spin this, I'm not going to see it again for a long time.
Because that's the only way that you can unlock coins is via the loot boxes, which I also disagree with.
Yeah.
You should be able to get at least some for
just for the
games.
Yeah,
I mean, because especially since those legendary skins are 1,000.
Yes.
And the most you can get, like, if you get a purple stack of coins, it's 200.
That's what I got. No.
And, like, I don't know what the gold stack of coins is, but those are ridiculously rare. It's 500.
Steven's pointing out it's 500 here.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you have to find, to buy a gold skin, you have to get 2 gold drops out of loot boxes, which is obscenely
that's
hard.
Annoying. Well,
calm down, kids, because Blizzard was kind enough to give you loot boxes on the PlayStation Store, so you can spend real money for your chance to get more sprays.
For your chance to get, yeah.
Yeah, and,
or, you know, like I got today, I got a gold skin, a rare skin for a character that I don't play.
Yeah.
But you know who does play that character?
Well, Mr. Kimball,
Jesse.
I think, plays
Jesse
it.
Jesse loves Hanzo. Yeah. I got a really cool-looking Hanzo skin. And I wish there's no way for me to just, like, gift that over.
A trading system is something that I feel like needs to be in Overwatch.
I don't know about a trade
there
system.
There are so many other things they need to add before
that. Exactly.
I feel like this could be something basic, though. Like, they're not going to
add a
story.
There are so many basic things. There are so many basic
things. Like the removal of Bastion.
Now, this is... Okay, we're not talking about balances because Battleborn has some balance issues, too.
Yes, Miko.
Or Galilee and Galt.
Yeah,
except Battleborn has also done weekly at least one update per week, which includes character nerfs and buffs.
Yes, no, they've been really good about it. Blizzard needs to get on the ball on that. But again, like, I'm not going to talk about balance changes because both of them are going to have them.
Yeah, Blizzard is always really good about it. As somebody that's played World of Warcraft for many, many years,
and Heroes of the
Storm,
StarCraft,
Diablo.
Right.
Remember when Diablo came out?
And it was terrible.
Everyone hated Diablo 3 because of the auction house, because of all these reasons. Blizzard went in, they changed it. They changed the core gameplay of some of those things.
But at the same time, how long did that take? How many?
The auction house took at least, a year?
Yeah, it was a year before the auction house was gone. No, see, basically, like, and this is what I'm afraid is going to happen with Overwatch. Like, Diablo 3 went from being, like, a mediocre game when it launched. Like, me and Shannon had a lot of fun with it, but
we
got
beat
bored
it, like,
real
three
fast.
Times.
Yeah, because, like,
I got the platinum trophy.
Oh. Well, by that time, it was good.
Right.
The whenever, just like, Shannon and I got it on the original launch on PC.
I called off work at Shoe Carnival, and I literally had to tell my manager, Heather, why are you calling off? And I held up the box of Diablo. I said, I'm going to go home and play this. You'd rather play that than make money? Yes.
So, but it got to a point where it was more efficient, gold-wise, to just buy better gear in the auction house than actually go and find it.
Which is the core concept of Diablo. It's one of the big things people like.
Because you may or may not know this, Asa, in the early games of Diablo, you could find a legendary item, and say you're playing a barbarian, you could find a legendary item that would be intellect and wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
was
just,
fun.
And just, oh, God, oh, the frustration. And it's worthless. Like, you can't sell in the auction house, you can't do anything with it because it's completely
no
worthless.
No one wants to buy it.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So, And it was really frustrating. And about a year after it came out, they really had it perfected. Like, Diablo 3 is incredible now. Like, lots of people are still playing it. It's still really fun. Like, we, you know, went through a tear on the PlayStation version recently.
I was just playing the other day, honestly. Yeah,
like, it's a fun game now. And that's what I meant about, like, Overwatch right now really does feel like it's still in beta. Because here's some other, like, we're going to keep going with things that Battleborn has.
Oh, yeah, it's not just the campaign, which you can say, you know, it's as basic and, you know, rudimentary as you want. It's there.
Right.
I like campaigns because when I get angry at online mode but I still want to play the game, I can just mess around the campaign.
Are we going to mention the things that Overwatch has that Battleborn doesn't?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
You know, we're going
to
give, because
I want to make sure we're on Crossfire and not on
No, it's one of those things, like, I really do, I like Overwatch and I'm having fun with Overwatch. I wish that Overwatch was more complete, and we're getting to it. And I wanted to, you know, I thought I prefaced this with that, but for the people that are still listening, Asa and I, we just finished playing Overwatch for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, the game is still fun. It's just frustratingly incomplete. Moving on, a party system. So basically, for those of you that haven't played either game, traditionally in multiplayer games, if you're in a group with your friends, the party leader can back out of a match. And everybody will go with that party leader. And they'll all go back to a lobby and
basically
wait to queue back up.
The party leader just is in charge.
Controls
if, okay,
all.
We're going to leave that map. Everyone goes with them. We're going to join this match. Everyone goes with them.
Yeah. And so here's how it works in Overwatch. We'll do Battleborn first.
You mean the right way.
Yeah. Here's how it works in Battleborn. So say that me, Shannon, and Asa are playing online, and Mandy, the four of us, we're all playing online.
Hi, Mandy.
Oh, well, wow. let's backtrack a little bit. Let's backtrack a little bit. Say,
bye, Mandy.
Say Mandy, Shannon, and Jesse are all playing, and then I get to the store or I sign on, and I see, oh, my friends are playing. I'm going to select Jesse's name. I'm going to push the join game button, and I will be immediately added to his party, assuming they're not already in a match.
And assuming the privacy policy is set where it's open to friends.
To where you can do that for your friends or,
but
yeah.
It's still one of the most basic systems in any shooter.
I can just be like, oh, there's my friend. I'm going to join them.
So that's something you can do in Battleborn. So, yeah, let's say me, Mandy, and Shannon are playing, and Asa comes in. He jumps in our party, and we go and we play a game. Then after that, we're like,
I don't want to play with these guys anymore.
Let's not play with these guys anymore. So I back us out. So now we're all back in a lobby and we queue up for another game type.
Or like, hey, let's try the campaign. Or hey, let's do anything else.
In Overwatch, we finish a game. It automatically queues us straight back up with the same people.
And I'm going to, again, back you up there. Let's say you three are playing a game of Overwatch. And I'm like, oh, I want to join Jesse. Oh, I either better text him or send him a PlayStation notification saying, please invite me to your party. So then I can go through another app to join his game.
Here's what I don't understand about this, because you can argue that, well, even though that has been a staple of online gaming and shooters since what?
Halo
Xbox
2?
Live, yeah.
Outlaws on PC by LucasArts? I don't know. If Blizzard hadn't already done this with Heroes of the Storm, it would make more sense.
Exactly. And I thought, because this was in the beta. And, like, the open beta. And I was like, yeah, surely, because they've done this. They know how to do this.
We do it in Heroes of the Storm all the time.
Yeah, it's going to be
fixed.
Play a
match, back out. We all back out together. We start another match.
Okay, now, here's another thing that I will say. We'll go back into Overwatch, and then I'll follow it up with the PC version. It's different. So, in Overwatch, say we finish a game. It's going to automatically queue us back up, and we'll play with the same people. Say we don't want to play with those people anymore because they're way better than us and we are frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Or say we got some loot boxes and we want to open up our loot boxes.
Or say they're like three bastions.
So we back out. And by we, I mean each of us individually.
And by if you know to hold down whatever button, because I was playing by myself, I was like, I don't want to play again! And I backed out, and I was like, no! And I literally panicked for like 20 seconds because I didn't know how to get out of the freaking thing.
It's not just circle like, to exit matchmaking.
Yeah, no.
And not only that, I don't know if you guys have run into this.
I didn't like it.
I have legitimately hit leave game, and then it goes to the black screen, and then puts me back in the game anyway.
Yep.
And I have to leave twice.
That happened to me last night.
Didn't understand that because I put my controller down, kind of walked off, and then I saw my character, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I was like, I'm done. I can't. And then I was like, huh, in this tiny little hold nerd to back out.
Yeah, because you have to hold square to cancel the matchmaking.
Oh, is that what it is? I just always go leave match.
Well, you can do that too, but yeah, to cancel matchmaking.
You have like a 15-second window to hold square.
Yeah, what's, like, when you're in a game, you have to hit options and leave game. When you're matchmaking, you have to hold square to exit matchmaking. Otherwise, it's going to put you into a game, and then you have to leave
game. But a lot of the time, it just automatically puts you in the next game.
There's a penalty. If you leave the game, you get 75 XP for your next however long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
are you serious? That.
No, completely.
That's
crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. So... moving past that, because that's a whole other thing.
It's really
Blizzard, be better.
So I don't get coins.
How, Blizzard?
And I lose points for leaving a game.
Uh-huh. So,
that you put me in.
Forcibly. Right, because I couldn't figure out how to leave.
I think there is a window, like, after joining a game that you can leave, but I'm not positive about that. Either way, so now let's go back here. So, each of us have to individually leave the game. And then I have to, me as the party leader, have to individually re-invite everyone that was in the party.
Because, again, we can't just go, oh, Jesse's online, I'm going to join his party.
All right, now,
one of the
maybe
worst
here's the confusing part. If you're playing on PC with a mouse and keyboard, for the party leader, there's an option you can check in the options menu to say, bring party with me when I leave. Now, that's cool, and that's how it should be. As soon as you plug a controller into your PC... that option goes away. The option straight up, like, it's not grayed out. It's not redded out. Like, you can't. It is gone. It is removed from the GUI entirely.
Of course, the only person we know that plays it on PC is Calvin, and what a dick.
I have friends that play it online.
Yeah, like, well,
online,
Ben McCoy.
I'm sorry, on PC, because obviously it's online.
Because I would ever want to play any game
player
with Ben McCoy.
I don't do podcast stuff for long days. This is why.
It's all right. So that to me, it boggles my mind. Why is that option available for mouse and keyboard, but as soon as you plug in a controller, it disappears?
And why is it not on consoles at all? Like, obviously,
exactly.
You had that idea.
The party system is broken.
It's completely broken.
And it's not even one of those things that it's like, oh, they need to tweak it. They need to implement it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not there at all.
That's baffling, because...
We can join together. And actually, you can technically join a friend if they're in a match.
Yeah, someone did that to me.
You can join, you can observe their match.
And if a spot opens, you'll actually play.
Maybe. I think so.
Well, again, it depends on how many bastions are on the team for how many spots are going to open up in the next match.
But I wonder if it's only someone on the opposite team leaves, I wonder if then you get put on the opposite team.
I have no idea. Oh, yeah, you definitely do, because people have joined in on me, because I see friends in there all the time.
We killed John Henson the other day,
didn't
we?
John Henson was playing against us like four games in a row before I realized it was him.
Huh.
We keep talking about Bastion a lot, but we played a game earlier where four of us changed to Bastion.
And we immediately
went over to their base.
And
that was really funny.
Oh, I've got another story for you.
We can top that one.
We can top it. So the other thing that Battleborn has that Overwatch doesn't. So Overwatch and Battleborn both, they have various modes, various game types.
Yeah.
You have three in Battleborn. You have Command, which is basically like domination from, you know, any other standard game. There's 3 points. You got to control them.
Yeah.
The player that controls the most points the longest wins.
And that's the one people play.
That's the one a lot of people play. Then there's also Incursion, which is your traditional MOBA style. You have to get your minions in range of spider turrets. The minions take down the spider turrets, shields, and you can kill the spider turret.
Which can be fun.
Yeah, sometimes it's really fun.
But can also be extremely frustrating, more so than any game that I've played before.
Right.
When you play for 30 minutes and they back you up into your base but haven't killed the robot, but you can't go anywhere or do anything.
And they just time you out.
And you vote to surrender and no one agrees. Are you kidding me? You like sitting here and getting raped for 30 minutes?
Yeah, no, it's real frustrating. So
Dr. Cosby will see you now.
The third mode is Meltdown. And Meltdown is my least favorite mode in Battleborn. Fortunately, we'll go ahead and describe it here. This one, you have to escort minions to tribute spots. And you have to, I think, tribute 200 minions or 200 points worth of minions.
It's 500 total, and then after 250,
yeah, then
it switches to a farther away objective.
Right. So that's the objective of that game. And it's there's two lanes. It's a lot more chaotic. It's fun. Like, some people enjoy it.
I do.
It's personally my least favorite mode. Because it requires the most team coordination. If you don't have a full team, then it becomes just really frustrating to play.
Those games are a lot like League of Legends and Heroes of the Storm. The same reason I stopped playing League of Legends was because it takes so long for a lot of those maps. It's such a long game just to lose.
Incursion and Meltdown both can take upwards of 45 minutes.
And when you're losing that entire time, that's not fun.
It's not.
That's why I preferred Heroes of the Storm versus League of Legends.
Because a long game of Heroes of the Storm is 20 minutes. Yeah. So,
which is a lot of the reasons why I prefer to play Overwatch versus
Now, here's the thing. So we prefer Command. Now, in Overwatch, you have, I think, four different modes. There's
I think it's three.
Okay. There's, there's escort the payload.
There's capture point A, point B, and then there's capture the middle ground 2 out of 3 times.
Yes.
And then payload. there's the capture the point and then payload. It's a merger of the two. Because you have to capture point A and then you have to escort a payload. And then there's some maps where you just escort a payload.
He's right.
That doesn't feel like it's a fourth game
mode.
But
how generous, yeah.
I know. It's kind of a merger of the two.
Well, I mean, I guess it's fine because that one seems unnecessary. We'll just not pick that one.
So here's the difference. We want to play, Command is our favorite mode to play as a group. So we play Command in Battleborn. What would you say our favorite mode to play in Overwatch is?
Whichever one they give me.
I would say the middle ground, where you have to grab the middle point.
I like payload.
The payload one's fun, too.
If you're attacking.
Honestly, payload's okay with attacking and defending. The ones the worst one with attacking and defending is the 2-point, which is the game mode I would never play. Unfortunately, I can't pick which mode I want to play. You have four options when you play Overwatch. You can do quick play. You can do play versus AI, which is just quick play, but
and
with human teams.
And you don't get experience points.
Right.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think you get far fewer.
You get less, but you still get XP.
Yeah, I play it
just for fun sometimes.
Then you have custom game, which you don't get XP for custom.
You don't get custom, though.
And then you have the arena battle, which is basically every week they change. It's a different...
Some sort of variable on the...
Like right now, it's double health and reduced cooldowns. So those are the four options. You go into quick player, play versus AI, you can be put into any one of those modes, which wouldn't necessarily be bad, except for the modes still have some extreme balancing issues, mostly because of Torbjorn and Bastion. So now, Shannon, and Calvin argued with me on this, the 2-point mode is the worst for balance issues. Like, you have to grab point A, and then you have to grab point B. Point A is kind of in the middle. It's usually, fairly even. Teams can stop you, but, you can...
It's back and forth.
It's back and forth, and you can grab it. Point B is right next to their spawn.
The point A, point B, and are there different maps for that mode?
Yes. There are, I think, two.
Because I think the only one that's really terrible is the one where at the end you're just in that room. That one, I don't know how to pronounce it correctly.
They're both bad.
Is it the same?
No, because I know the one you're talking about. It's bad.
It's like the
and
Chinese...
it's like an industrial room, and then you have the other one. It's like
the Egyptian.
The Egyptian room are the two that you have.
And you put yourself in that one little room, and... No matter how, and here's the part I hate about Overwatch the most. I know you guys have complaints about it, and they're valid complaints. But the part that I hate that Battleborn doesn't do is that you cannot pick the same character more than once. And the reason that is
on
a
Battleborn,
balance,
you can't.
On Battleborn,
right.
Yeah.
Because on Overwatch, you get a mode like that where you're just in a room defending, and you've got three Torn Bjorns or whatever his name is,
double
and two
around.
Bastions. When you've got nonstop attack going at you, you can't get in the room. Okay. And I know there's somebody out there right now that's listening to this going, well, that's not true. I can get in there really easy. Fuck you.
That's Calvin, but he's not listening to this.
Fuck you, Calvin. You're the same guy.
F-bomb.
What's that?
Yep.
There goes that F-bomb, Mr. ABC family.
He did it on Pro Wrestling Unscripted when I tried to be good. I'm going to do it now.
Backing.
Bring it back in. We don't have much time.
It upsets me so much. What a stupid choice of gameplay. You're going to make these characters who are already overpowered and then let just a whole team pick them?
So,
that's insane. All
right. Now, this is the thing that Calvin was arguing with me. The 2-point mode, like I said, is the least balanced. Basically, if you have two even teams, the defending team is going to win every time. If they're two even teams, the attacking team can win if they are just so far above and beyond,
like really
better.
Coordinated, good teamwork.
And plus, the other team picks the wrong people.
The other team picks the wrong people.
Yeah.
So here's what happened in a match.
As in
earlier.
Anyone other than Bastion and Toblerone.
Right. So here's what happened in a match earlier with me and Asa. So we had in the first game, because one of the things that happens in Overwatch, if you do the 2-point grab. If you're on the attacking side, the next game, you'll be on the defending side on the same map. And it'll, switch the teams. So, that's cool, because we played this map where we were attacking the first game. We grabbed point A pretty quick, and it was, and we got into point B, or tried to,
yeah.
But I mean, we got some time in there. They held us off, and it was a fairly close game, but we ultimately lost.
And it was even a loss that I was okay with, because they didn't resort to like super cheap nonsense.
Right.
Like, it was like,
I mean, they had a Bastion in there, and they had a Toblerone in there.
Stop saying that.
Torbjorn.
Never. I don't know how to say that.
Torbjorn is the actual name of the character, I think. So they had them in there, the dwarf. They had him in there, which, I guess for those of you that don't know the characters, Bastion can turn into a really overpowered turret, and Torbjorn can create a really overpowered turret. So they had him in there, and that's what was stopping us, but, I mean, they stopped us. The game flipped. No one left. Same teams. They didn't ever make it to point A, because our team composition, we had three Toblerones and a Bastion. Like, I was the Bastion.
I was not the, I like the turret, the guy who builds turrets, and I normally, if I see it's a defend, I will choose him. I was the first person on our team to choose him,
and then three other people,
and then
chose
two
him.
Other people chose him, and so our turrets. And, or no, this was a different one. I'm thinking of a different one, because I'm thinking of the game where you were Widowmaker.
Oh, yeah. No, that, and that one, Shannon was still involved in
yeah,
that
okay,
one.
Yeah, okay, no. So never mind. I wasn't even, I was Reaper that game.
Yeah, you were
I
Reaper in this one.
I was not.
Because you went Toblerone, or you started to, and then three other people on our team chose him. So you're like, ah, never mind, I'll do Reaper.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, nobody else is Bastion, so I'll do Bastion. The two, or the three Toblerones. I love Shannon's face.
He keeps looking at me every time he says it now.
The three Toblerones set up their turrets over the only way into towards point A.
Yep, because that's another problem that Overwatch has. Is a lot of the times that you have to, a lot of the ways you can get to objectives, there's only one way from your base.
Yep. It's and, real bad with bottlenecking.
And if someone, if more than one person sets up a turret or goes into Bastion's turret mode, you're screwed.
So basically, and I mean, there are a few counters to this. One of them being
there
like,
are two.
Yeah,
there are literally two.
For Toblerone, I would argue there are three. But, yeah, no. When you throw Bastion in, Bastion has two counters. So, Reinhardt would push in. Like, Reinhardt was pushing in so he can block and people could take out the turrets. Downside, Reinhardt pushes in, and I was Bastion flanked to the left. I just took out the Reinhardt. Because Bastion right now is a hard counter to Reinhardt, just eats his shield to pieces.
Yeah.
And you get it. So, yeah, we actually, this team that managed to hold us off and won the previous game could not even grab the first point in the second game.
Because our team just cheesed it.
Yeah. And that's a problem. Like, there are, sure, the people will argue there are ways to counter it.
Well,
not good ones.
Well, no, it's in the game, so it's fine.
I feel like
it's a legitimate strategy.
I feel like there are ways to counter it. I do. Like,
there are.
Okay,
there's
Genji. You can use his reflect
right.
at Bastion. Maybe. You can get about half of his health down. Then you have to have someone else.
You can completely kill a Bastion with a reflect if he's shooting at you the whole time.
I know you can't do a turret. Like,
but if the Bastion's smart, he'll just stop shooting at you whenever you're doing the reflect.
Well, say that's the problem with Bastion. He has to stay still. Same thing with the turrets. If you're pinging, like, let's say Widowmaker, and Bastion's looking at someone else, and Widowmaker gets a good shot off or two, you can take him out in two shots.
That's true. Unless you're being bottlenecked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There are ways to do it. They're not good ways.
No, right. And that's kind of what we were talking about, the beta, where, oh, no, yeah, you can get behind Bastion and take him out real quick because his back is vulnerable.
Which has happened to me. Yeah.
Except what happens is Bastion now knows this and puts himself against a wall or in a corner
where
there's no way to get to him
other than
straight on.
Yeah, where I was in this map. I went into this little like corner cubby, whatever you want to call it, and I planted myself there. There was no way to get behind me. There's no way to get above me or to the side of me. I was just there, and they couldn't get to me. A Reinhardt, he tried to get to me. He walked to me with a shield, and I'm guessing he was going to charge at me. As soon as he dropped his shield, I just melted him. I think I had some help from Toblerone's turrets up top, but yeah.
You know, when we played the beta, you remember when we played the beta and I picked Bastion for the first time? I think I was the first one to pick Bastion. Maybe I was
first, because that was before we really figured out like how good he was.
And do you remember how much joy I had that first time we put Bastion on the payload and I was just gunning people down? And I'm like, this is so much fun. But it's gotten to a point now where everyone does it. It's not fun anymore.
No.
And it wasn't even like, it's one of those things where when we won, we both looked at each other and we're just like, that was gross.
Yeah.
I wasn't
happy about that win at all.
You feel dirty.
And when you were Bastion on the payload, that was against AI. Like we were just trying to get a feel for some characters. And like, oh wow, you even said like this is going to be infuriating playing against people. This will not work. Oh, well, it does.
It better, yeah.
So it's time to wrap it up because we're actually 9 minutes over.
I just want to say one thing real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Despite all the things we've said, Overwatch is fun. Yeah, I don't want to scare people away from going, oh, well, I don't think Overwatch is a good game. It is a good game, and it could be a great game.
It can be fun.
Exactly. Depending on the match. One of the things that I mentioned like earlier. Like, Asa and I just spent today 3 hours playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
Like, we're playing the game, and 60% of the time, we're really enjoying it.
And here's why Overwatch is good compared to Battleborn. Overwatch is faster. It's got quicker gratification. You don't wait as long to get into matches. The matches go quicker. Overwatch is a much faster-paced game than Battleborn.
Right.
Battleborn takes more, I don't want to say more skill, because that's offensive, but it takes a little bit more to do it. Overwatch, you can just jump in, shoot people in the face. You can beam a Kree, who should be the best player of the game. He's not... But he looks awesome.
He has the best ult in the game. Well, he has
the best belt buckle.
That's true.
And Battleborn does have some balance issues, but there's nothing that can't be overcome by, like, you're not, if a team has a really strong team that you're going up against, there's no guaranteed win for a team.
But usually,
if you're not able to communicate with your teammates, like if you just go in by yourself, like you said, like it's not a game you'll play solo.
Yeah, it's really not fun to play alone.
But so you have to be able to communicate. But you can overcome a strong team with good teamwork.
We did fail to mention one thing that Battleborn does that is just baffling. If someone drops out of the game before you go into the match, they do not put another person into the game. So if one or two people drop out, you are now 3v5.
Yep.
Yep.
At least Overwatch, to its credit, it does put people in the game when other people drop out.
And it's one of those things, like once the game is started, it makes sense that you can't put more people in after the game has started in Battleborn. It makes sense that you can't replace a disconnected player. What doesn't make sense
is during character select.
Is before the game starts. If the game is in the process of starting and you have lost someone, then you queue back up. There shouldn't be.
They push you right through the game.
Fortunately, we can leave. Now we know that. Mm-hmm. We can leave before the game starts and then we can start a new one. But, oh man, when we first discovered that's like
the whole party system with Overwatch. It's baffling that they would put that in there,
but it's so easy to get around it. Like, but I have no experience with either League or Heroes. Is it the same, like is it like that in a MOBA where if someone disconnects in the middle of a game, you're just
they replace it? I know Heroes of the Storm, they replace it with AI.
League, you're just screwed.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah, League, you're screwed.
Because that's what Rocket Heroes. League does. If you have a player drop out on your team, if you're doing like 3v3 or 5v5, it just puts in an AI.
And it's one of those things, like the way the game is played, there's no way to just throw a random person in to replace them. Heroes of the Storm throw in the AI, which is a great idea.
At least it's something.
Yeah, like...
But you've already picked your team comp and whatnot.
Exactly. It's one of those things, like Shannon said, in character select, it shouldn't have gone onto the game.
Which, when it's there, it's so easy to just be like, oh, we need to back out and find a new game. Because it really, like, Overwatch tends to be faster, but it's not like you're waiting minutes on minutes to load into games.
I think with Battleborn at first, we didn't know they wouldn't put someone else in there, so we just went in with the match.
Yeah, that was the problem.
And then we just noticed, like, have you noticed there's only four of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So after we figured that out, like, it's no longer an issue, but yeah, it was weird.
It's just weird that they did that.
Did you have anything else? Because I remember you were saying you wanted to talk about what Overwatch has that Battleborn doesn't.
Well, I was going to make a joke and say McCree, but the more you guys talked about it, and really the only thing I would say the Battleborn lacks versus Overwatch is just the speed. It's just Overwatch does feel faster. I like the characters more.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind of game. It's kind of like saying Call of Duty's faster game than Heroes of the Storm.
Call of Duty's faster than Heroes of the Storm. It's true. That's true.
But it's a different type of game.
I would have said more of like Heroes of the Storm versus League of Legends.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely it. Well, but you can play like Command in Battleborn, and it'd be pretty quick.
And that's my favorite mode for that reason.
Right.
I don't know. I just think Overwatch is just, and this is not any way scientific, it's just cooler.
The Overwatch style is definitely, it's prettier.
I love
it's a much prettier
and
game.
I love
I'll
the
disagree
characters.
With that. I think I like the characters better in Battleborn.
It's a different style.
I think they all have, because to me, what I've noticed is it feels like there's more personality to Battleborn. Like, yeah, you get the voice lines unlocked and the emotes and stuff for Overwatch, but like, especially with the campaign, like Isaac is one of my favorite characters in a shooter.
Isaac
like, he's
is really
just,
funny.
He's hilarious. He has lines that like, there's different dialogue for what characters you're playing. Yeah.
She's whispering, you know, Toby in my ear.
The Toby, the penguin with the mech suit. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, see, and I feel the opposite way. I love McCree, old West gunslinger. Genji and Hanzo, even though I don't like them, that the ninja influence.
Yeah, they're so
to
cool looking.
Even Bastion, as much as we hate playing against him, the character itself is cool. He's a robot with a bird.
Okay, so other than a robot with a bird, what do you know about Bastion?
He wibble weebles. But sometimes
I think he's one of the first AIs, because I want to say, like, there's a race of AI that exists in the game.
But
how would you
know
this?
Sometimes,
through the videos they've released.
Sometimes you don't have to, and I'm going to pull a Dark Souls here. Sometimes you don't have to have everything explained to you to like the character and to have you just have an attachment to him. Like, I have an attachment to McCree. I don't know much about him. I can't think of any character in Battleborn that I truly love. Like, I like the characters, and I think some of them look cool. Like, I love Oscar Mike, the playstyle. I don't like him, though. I don't know why. None of them really speak to me the way Overwatch does. And maybe it's the same thing with Heroes of the Storm. Maybe it's just because I'm a Blizzard fanboy. That could be it. Like, I'm not going to say that's not it.
Chen and I have been on Blizzard's teat for many, many moons.
If Overwatch just had some characters from Blizzard, like, I'd be done. But thankfully, they replaced it with a giant monkey.
So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with this. If you're on the fence about which game to buy...
Buy both. Buy Doom. Come play Doom with me.
No. Don't buy Doom. No. Don't buy
Doom. It's really good.
You want to talk about Battleborn having a simplistic story?
All right, let's just rein it back in, because we're already 15 minutes over.
Tuesday.
Rein it back in.
Tuesday, man.
All right, reining it back in. If you're on the fence about which one to buy, Overwatch, Battleborn is a more complete game. Overwatch is going to be a faster game. It's, you know, by Blizzard. It's a few updates away from being a really solid game.
I would say find out what your friends are playing.
That
because
too.
Both games are great and both games are a lot of fun, but both games, I think a lot of your fun is going to hinge on being able to have people that you can talk to aside from random internet
Overwatch
people.
Overwatch is probably going to be your best bet if you don't have any friends playing either game.
If you're going
to
play solo,
if you're going to play solo, Overwatch is going to be more fun.
But if you have a group of friends playing Battleborn.
Because there have been plenty of times on Battleborn where we played together, and we've had such a good team composition, and we all know each other so well that we've really just decimated them, and it feels like we earned the decimation.
Right.
Whereas in Overwatch, everybody picks the cheesiest characters, and you could decimate them, but it just doesn't feel as good.
Not,
I will agree on
fun.
That.
Yeah.
But they're both fun.
They're both really fun games. Like I said, as much trash as we talked on Overwatch, they're both really fun. Right now, if everybody at this table... were to say, Jesse, you get to choose right now which game we're all going to play together, I would say Battleborn.
I would say Overwatch. I would just say Overwatch. I think I'll play it longer than I'll play Battleborn.
I would also say Battleborn.
Overwatch. Same. I just don't know how to play Battleborn very well, and the controls confuse me with, like, L1 and R2. Like, it's not your normal...
That's
attack.
Well, both of them.
Overwatch.
Yeah, both of them do that.
I don't know. I feel like I'd be better in Overwatch.
All right, Steven, break the tie here. Overwatch, or like, if all of us right now, the five of us, were about to play a game, would you pick Overwatch or Battleborn?
I would pick Battleborn just because there's more options.
Battleborn because there's more options.
Ali, counteract it. Say Overwatch.
Ali hasn't played either of them.
She
and doesn't
Overwatch.
Own a system.
She played Overwatch.
She doesn't own a system.
She played Overwatch.
But she hasn't played Battleborn.
No,
Ali, just say
I don't
Overwatch.
Like this argument. Stop.
All right. Fine. So.
You should have just said Doom.
Yes!
All right, guys, so that's going to wrap it up. Thank you, Shannon. Yeah. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Mandy. And Allie and Steven from the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah.
And thank you, audience, for tuning in.